Now, we have not all been given the same gifts. We don't all have the same places of service. But there are gifts for that God has given a gift to every single one of us. Every believer has a spiritual gift. And every single one of us has a purpose or a place for service in the body of Christ, without exception.
Wonder Lake Bible Church.
Building mature followers of Jesus Christ.
Well, last week I asked you to imagine a little scenario. And that scenario was is that you know someone named Joe who lost his driver's license and now he needs a ride to church. And you happen to have a friend named Bill who needs a car and lives near Joe. So you give Bill a beautiful new car and you ask him to give Joe a ride to church. But Bill doesn't bother to pick up Joe. Instead, he uses the car for his own selfish pleasures. Or maybe even Bill doesn't even bother to come to church anymore himself. Or maybe he just does nothing with that at all, and that car just sits in Bill's garage all of the time, never put to any good use whatsoever. So your generous gift to Bill was completely wasted. Joe was not served, and Bill completely missed out on any blessing that might have come through that. Blessing here and now, or blessing in eternity. And we say, that's sad, isn't it? That would be so sad. Such a waste. Well, I ask again, do you believe that the Holy Spirit has given you good gifts that are to be used to serve others? Do you want to fan those gifts into flame and use them for God's glory and service to others? Or would you rather be like Bill, who misused his gift for his own selfish pleasure or just did nothing with it at all? Do you long to see the Spirit work more powerfully in the church today? Do you long to see the Spirit work more powerfully here at Wonder Lake Bible Church? Do you long to see the Holy Spirit work more powerfully in you? Have we been under-appropriating, under-using a vital and dynamic resource that God has given us, namely the person and work of the Holy Spirit? Remember we said the person is a spirit. He's not an impersonal force or presence. He's a person, a member of the triune Godhead, who is to be what? Loved and obeyed. That's the person of the Spirit. What is the work of the Spirit? Well, we've been using this definition here by Wayne Grudem, that the work of the Spirit is to manifest. To manifest means to do what? To show, to reveal, right? To show, to reveal the active presence of God in the world, and especially where? In the church. We've looked at the various works and ministry of the Holy Spirit at various times in salvation history, in the Old Testament era, in the life of Christ, and in the church era. And we focused in on a couple of particular issues that of particular note today about spirit baptism and spirit filling, and then spiritual gifts, then looking at those last week. Well, today then we want to take a closer look at the gifts of the Spirit. Our text is found in the book of Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. And what is that one truth, that one main truth that I want us all to take away from the message here today? It's this, is that there is a place of service for everyone in the body of Christ, including you. How many of you believe, if you believe that, raise your hand. Do you believe that? Is there a place of service for everyone? Everyone? Scripture is very clear about it, isn't it? That there is a place of service for everyone in the body of Christ. Now, we have not all been given the same gifts. We don't all have the same places of service. But there are gifts for that God has given a gift to every single one of us. Every believer has a spiritual gift. And every single one of us has a purpose or a place for service in the body of Christ, without exception. Now, talking about spiritual gifts here, I want to give a definition of spiritual gifts that this is nothing new. We've talked about this before, but I want to give what I'm calling the network definition of spiritual gifts. Network is something you're going to hear a little more about in a minute here. Well, actually, more than a minute. But network, then, is a resource that is going to help us to find, to discover, and to employ our spiritual gifts, your spiritual gifts. And it defines spiritual gifts in this way. It simply says, spiritual gifts are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit and distributed to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. So a spiritual gift, what? It's an ability. It's an ability that God has given you. The Holy Spirit has given you. And He gave it to you for a reason, for a purpose. It all fits in to His design of the common good of the body of Christ. And we said last week, they're also to be exercised, these gifts, with a certain attitude. That attitude being what? Love, right? Agape love. It's not enough just to have the gift. It's not enough even to use it. It's to be used how? In love. Agape love. Do you think people can use their spiritual gifts, but not with an attitude of love? Yeah. Oh, yeah. And in fact, it can actually, these things which are designed to be what? For the common good, the building up of the body, when spiritual gifts are used without an attitude of agape love, what can happen? It actually tears the body down, doesn't it? So the attitude of love is critical then too. Well, today then we're going to continue here with spiritual gifts. Let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. The Apostle Paul speaking here. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us do what? Use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Are those all the spiritual gifts right there? No, it's a partial list, right? Scriptures list some more, too. We'll look at that. But is every possible ability mentioned in the Scriptures that God gives us for service? No. But we have quite a few that can get us thinking, right? Quite a few that are listed there for us. But Scripture tells us then, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a what? A living sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So Paul, speaking here, he says, I appeal to you, therefore. Who knows what's coming next? What's the therefore, right? What does he say? I appeal to you, therefore. Well, when he says therefore, it means what? He's been building up toward this. So we have to go back and look at what has he been saying. And I think that the whole thing is Romans 1 through 11, he's been building up to this moment. And of course, Romans 1 through 11 has been this incredible presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and all that that means. But if we back up just a few verses there to chapter 11, look at chapter 11, verse 33. He's been talking about God and his wisdom, his knowledge. He says, verse 33 of chapter 11, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" And the answer to that question is, who has done it? Anyone? No one, right? Verse 36, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forevermore. Amen." This beautiful case for the majesty of God, for who he is, for what he's done for us in Christ, the incredible blessing we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the incredible depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, and how everything is about God. Some of us think it's all about, you know, the expression, "it's all about me." You know, and they say, "I got a newsflash for you, it's not all about you," right? It's not all about you, it's not all about me. Who's it all about? It's all about God, right? "So I appeal to you, therefore," in light of all of that, in light of the majesty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the person of God, his knowledge, his wisdom, his power, the riches of it, and it's all about him, it's not about you. In light of that, what? "Therefore, the only proper response is to do what? Present ourselves entirely to him in worship." That's the only worthy response. How many of you know that the word worship means worthy, worth-ship? You know, that was the original, the old English word was worth-ship. It became worship in time. Worth-ship. That God is worth our what? Everything. "I appeal to you, therefore, to let us present ourselves," our body, everything. And when he says our bodies here, he's meaning that the totality of our being, everything that we have and are and do, everything in our lives, everything is to be presented to him as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament era, they would bring these animals in and they would sacrifice it on the altar. Was that a living sacrifice? Once it was sacrificed, what? It was a dead sacrifice then, right? Well, he's calling you and me to do what? To be, to present ourselves before God, to put ourselves on the altar before him, but not as dead sacrifices, but as what? Living sacrifices. That's the picture there for us. It's just as that animal is presented before God on the altar, its very life given, so we are to present ourselves on the altar of God. Our very lives, our very everything is his, but not as dead animals, dead sacrifices, as living sacrifices. That this is holy and acceptable to God. And really, I would say this is the only acceptable sacrifice, is our all. Anything less than that is unworthy, isn't it? It is holy and acceptable to God. By the way, are we holy and acceptable to God in and of ourselves? No. But was Christ holy and acceptable to God? Yeah. And we have been united with him, haven't we? So as we present ourselves, we're not holy and acceptable. But Jesus was and Jesus is, and we've been united with him by faith. And so now in Christ, we are holy and acceptable to God. And this is your spiritual worship. This is the essence of worship. Self-sacrifice. that is the giving of ourselves to God for His use, His purposes, His glory, whatever it may be. And you know what? It doesn't mean serving in some hostile country and dying as a martyr. Only it could mean that. But it's also what? Being faithful to your marriage partner. Raising your children in the Lord. Serving faithfully in your church, if it's sweeping the floor, whatever it is. This is the acceptable sacrifice that is worthy of Him. And this is your spiritual worship, giving ourselves to Him. That's our worship. It says, "And what? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind." A form is a shape, right? So if you are conformed, it means to be shaped with. And I love there's a particular, oh, I wouldn't say a translation, a paraphrase of this verse that says this, that I think really captures it well, though, that says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. I know some of you work with molds, and you take and you put it in there, a liquid or something, you put it in this mold, and it shapes it and forms it, and it takes on the form of that mold, right? So saying, well, don't let the world do that to you. Squeeze you into its mold and make you like it. It's what? And how we think, how we speak, how we act, our priorities. Is that worthy of this God we've read about in the first 11 chapters and what He has done to then be just like the world? No. So rather than that, do what? Be transformed. See, don't be conformed. It's pressure from without squeezing you into a certain attitude and behavior. But rather be transformed. To be transformed means to be changed from within. The word there in the original language is, I'll tell you the original word and you tell me what it sounds like in English, metamorpheo, metamorphosis, right? Means what? It's a change, taking on a whole new form from within. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be changed wholly from within. Why? By trying real hard to be better than we are? No. By how? And how does this transformation from within happen? By the renewing of your mind. That's what the mind is, the central control of the person. The mind, its attitudes, its actions, it's how we think about things. So this needs to be renewed. And of course, who does the renewing of the mind? The Holy Spirit does, right? And what happens when our minds are renewed? We are then able to discern the will of God, that which is good and perfect and pleasing. So in other words, I have a big, important decision to make here. Should I live in city A or city B? Well, I'll be transformed and then I'll know the will of God. Is that what Paul is talking about? No. The will of God is not this little, maybe we've talked about this, but it's not a target here of choices about where should I live or what should. I think God is concerned about those things. But when Scripture speaks of the will of God, it's primarily speaking of what? Character. The kind of person we are. Obedience to His commands, to His moral commands. And that as our minds are being renewed, we will understand the kind of person God wants us to be. And we'll become that person. We will be able to discern the will of God. And we will find, the person God wants you to be, you're going to find that to be good and perfect and pleasing. Good and perfect and pleasing to God, yes, but you know what? Pleasing to whom else? To you. How many of you found that the more you become like Christ, the more pleasing of a way of living that is? Right? Living sacrifice. Unity and diversity. This is interesting. He immediately goes and says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Isn't it funny, in a day, and we were talking about this a little earlier in Sunday school, in a day and age in which there's so much focus on self-esteem, we need to teach our children self-esteem, right? And by the way, I'm all for a healthy self-esteem, okay? Healthy, emphasis on that. But there's so much focus on self-esteem. Like, we don't think highly enough of ourselves. Do you really think that that is the problem with society, is that people just don't think highly enough of themselves? So is self-esteem really the issue, the problem? Now, look, I know there are some people who need to have a little better understanding of themselves. But for most of us, though, is the problem a low self-esteem? No, the problem is what? We think more highly of ourselves than we ought. It was true in Paul's day. It's true in our day, isn't it? Now, he doesn't say, think that you are a low-down, worthless piece of junk. No, he says what? Don't think more highly of yourselves than what? Than you ought. In other words, we ought to think highly of ourselves. But biblically, we say we're thinking highly, really, of Christ and who we are in Christ, right? And that's the ought. The truth is there a single one of us that's holy and righteous and just before God in and of ourselves? No. But in Christ, we are those things. But we ought not, though, to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We ought, in other words, we ought to think of ourselves as God sees us. That's the right view, right? How does God see you? That's how we ought to think of ourselves then, how God sees you. In its full orb of truth. Sometimes, if we think more highly of ourselves than we ought, we're not going to be servants, are we? See, a servant lowers himself or herself, right? One of the reasons why people don't serve as they should, maybe it's because we're thinking more highly of ourselves than we are. Like, oh, that's beneath me. Or I've got more important things to do. Really? Don't think more highly of yourselves than you ought. You're a servant. And remember, and again he uses the illustration of the human body. The human body, it's one body with many members, many different parts. In the same way, the body of Christ. That's one body of Christ, but there are many different members, many different persons, and they don't all have the same purpose. So there's unity and diversity. The unity in the one body of Christ, but it's expressed in diversity in many different people, many different gifts, personalities, passions. Aren't you glad that we all don't have exactly the same gift and exactly the same passion and exactly the same personality? How well would that work, do you think, in accomplishing the purposes of God? Not so well, right? If your body was all an eye, how would you get anywhere? You wouldn't have to get anywhere because you wouldn't be thinking, right? It all fits together, right? So with the body of Christ, there is unity and there is diversity. It's interesting, too, that it says this one body of Christ, we are individually members of one another. What? We need each other. There's no one is disposable or expendable. Everybody, including you, has a part to play. In fact, we're designed for service, mutual service. Says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. The grace, that is the manifestation of the Spirit in your life, the spiritual gift that He's given you. Everybody has been given some ability that contributes to the good of the body. Do you believe that? And don't just say, yeah, I believe it in my head. Do you really believe that in your heart? Then it's necessary, important. So he says, according to the grace that is given us, let us do what? Let us use them. That's it, right? Let us use them. In other words, what? Don't be Bill. And I really wish Bill was here today. But maybe there's someone who's a figurative Bill here today. Don't be Bill with that beautiful new car sitting in the garage, accomplishing no good purpose. Well, boy, I'm kind of revved up now, and I want to get busy. I want to serve then. I have a role. I have a part to play. But what's my gift? What's my ability? How does this work? Well, we're going to call this a very brief survey of spiritual gifts, because we could spend many, many weeks going through all of this. And by the way, you're going to have an opportunity to go in more in-depth with it, with something I can talk about a little bit later here. But for today, I just want to give a very quick overview to get you thinking about this. Remember I gave you a little formula last week, called it what? The 12s and the 4s? Now, this is not the only places in Scripture that reference spiritual gifts or abilities that God gives, but these are the main references right here, the 12s and the 4s, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Peter 4. What I want to do today is I want to just read these, and I want to ask you to ask the Spirit to speak to you. Some of you already know. You know how God has gifted you, and you've been busy, and you've been using them for a long time. Others of you, though, maybe aren't so sure. You know, I'm not so sure about that. But you know what? Let me say, even to the ones who say, I know my gifts and you've been using them, do you think God ever might give you something else or something new if we might ask for it? Absolutely. Do you think that the day you're saved, God gives you certain gifts and that's it? That's all you're getting? What happens if you give your children gifts and they prove to use them well and responsibly? Do you say, no, I already gave you everything I'm giving you? What do? You give them more, right? So maybe there's something else here. Buckle up your sermon listening and reflection seat belts, because here we go, all right? Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us do what? Use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10 and verse 28. Paul says there, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. And verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, Paul says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers, he gave them what? To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And then Peter in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So I would challenge you here today. Take those verses there in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. Go through that and read that. Study that carefully and reflect upon that and ask God to speak to you, to reveal His will to you. Now, in just a moment, I want to say just a little bit more about these things very quickly. But before I do that, I'm going to call this a note about the sign gifts. What is sometimes called the sign gifts referred to, these are miracles, healing, the tongues, apostleship, these gifts. I want to say quickly that this is a delicate subject that has caused, unfortunately, pain and division in the church, that is the worldwide church of Christ. And I want you to know that I respect deeply different points of view on this. But that said, on this matter of miracles and healing, and especially tongues, tongues seems to be the one most divisive on this. But I want to tell you this, that I believe, I'm going to step away from the pulpit here a little bit, and I'm going to say, I'm not emphatically declaring this is the clear teaching of the Word of God, but I believe this, and I think it is true, and I believe it is the teaching of the Word of God, okay? I think that there are two dangerous extremes on these gifts that we need to avoid. One of them is a point of view that I respect wholeheartedly and respect persons and teachers who hold it, and I used to believe it myself, but I don't anymore. And that view is cessationism, or the ceasing, that there are certain gifts that have ceased. There are certain gifts that God doesn't give them anymore. They were only used at a certain point. It was at the beginning of the church during the time of the apostles, and when the apostles died, these gifts went away. Tongues, miracles, healings, all of that ceased with the apostles. So in other words, that's not been around for almost 2,000 years now. And there's a case that's made for that. And again, I respect that. But you know what? That's what I was taught in Bible college. That was one point of view that came through seminary. Seminary actually caused me to start wondering a little bit about that. But then as I reflect a little bit more on that, I just came to the conclusion, you know what? It's not in the Scriptures. It's not in there. So I think that all of the gifts are active today. So I think that that's one extreme on here, cessationism, that says, oh, nope, there's no tongues, there's no miracles, there's no healing today. Nope, that was just back then. And I don't mean to denigrate it, because there's a very good case that respectable teachers who I admire greatly make. I just don't see it in the Scriptures. That's one extreme. What's the other extreme? Well, that does believe in tongues and miracles and healings, but what? It's out of control, craziness even. Some of you have seen this. You know what I'm talking about. The Scriptures lay down some very clear directives about these things and how they ought to be employed. And I tell you, but it's like a madhouse sometimes the way you see it. It's nuts. Maybe you've seen it on television where you have all these people that are quote-unquote being slain in the Spirit. You know what I mean? They're just falling down all over the place and babbling and all of that. Is that biblical either? That this is how God intends for these gifts to be used? I don't think so. See, I have a problem with cessationism because I wasn't seeing it in the Scripture. I also have a problem with how some of this, some, not everyone, how some of this is practiced today, because it's out of control and it's also not biblical or scriptural. So I find myself in the mushy middle. How many of you can identify with the mushy middle? All right? Which says this, that I believe that all the gifts are still given today. I think that miracles and healing are rare, but it happens that God does that. Tongues, I believe God gives them, but they are to be used with discernment in accordance with scriptural commands, and not what you often see, out of control. Some cautions for us. Well, I'm putting you in this, and maybe you're not in this category. For the mushy middlers here on this, here's some cautions. Cessationists will say this, and they're absolutely right. It doesn't mean that their case is biblical, but they're absolutely right because I've seen it too, and I know. Sometimes, especially, I'm talking mostly about tongues here now at this point, is there can be a lot of psychological manipulation. It's going. This isn't really people speaking in tongues. They're being psychologically manipulated into it, thinking that they're doing this. By the way, do non-Christian religions speak in tongues? You better believe it. And so with that, which leads me to this other point, which is, I think there is demonic counterfeiting that happens too. I believe that there are churches that get together where these people think that they are speaking in some angelic language, and what they're doing is they're uttering blasphemies through demons. It's documented. So I believe there's psychological manipulation. I believe there's demonic counterfeiting. Again, I'm not saying I don't believe in it. There is no gift of tongues. It's all ceased. I'm saying, folks, let's be careful here. Exercise discernment. Here's another thing I'd say, and this one I have absolutely no place for it whatsoever. If you want to see me, one of my personality characteristics, I'm not a big fan of displays of anger. How many of you get uncomfortable with displays of anger, you know, like for whatever reason, okay? I don't like displays of anger. I don't like it when people, I don't like tempers. That said, and maybe the reason is because I know that deep down inside, I can do that too, and I hate it, and I don't like it. So here's a topic that if you want to get me going, if you want to see my temper, this can do it, okay? This can do it. And I'm holding it back now. And in fact, actually, in some ways, I think this was part of why I was a cessationist at one point. With all of the aforesaid truths here, there are some people out there that will tell you that if you do not speak in tongues, you are not saved. And there are others that will tell you, well, you may be saved, but, you know, you need to, though. You really need to do it. You're kind of like a second-class Christian type thing, you know? Like, you're missing out on this blessing here. And I'm feeling the anger coming here, right? Do you know how incredibly unbiblical that is? Do I even need to tell you how unbiblical that is? Discernment and in accordance with clear scriptural teaching. Amen. One final note. Wonder Lake Bible Church. We are not a Pentecostal or charismatic church, and we're not planning on becoming one anytime soon. That said, there are plenty out there that do practice tongue speaking in their services. God bless them if they are doing it according to the Scriptures, with discernment and according to the Scriptures. We won't be doing that here. We won't be slaying anyone in the Spirit. But I do pray that the Spirit Himself would slay our hearts and our minds as we listen to clear instruction from His Word and worship Him in spirit and truth. So that's my comments on the sign gifts. Now, we could be here quite some time longer to looking at these gifts. We're not going to do it, but what I want to refer you to is a great opportunity that's coming soon. This is it's called Network. I think there's some in the church here in Wonder Lake who've gone through this before many years ago. But there's a new revised edition of this that's coming out. We're going to be offering this fall. If you want to go further in this and understanding the spiritual gifts, and you want to understand yourself better and the role God has for you, you are going to have a great opportunity this fall to do this in this presentation called Network. It goes through and lists the gifts like administration, apostleship, craftsmanship, creative communication, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, healing, helps, hospitality, intercession, interpretation, word of knowledge, leadership, mercy, miracles, prophecy, shepherding, teaching, tongues, word of wisdom. These are the spiritual gifts that it gives it, and it defines them, and it does a really nice job of defining them. Talks about the personality characteristics that really thrive with that, places of service in the church where that works well. Well, that's all interesting, but what do you want me to do about this? What do you want me to do about this here today? I want you to remember this, that there is a place of service for who? Everyone in the body of Christ, including most of us. No, including you, all of us, right? So I want to ask you the same two questions I asked last week in conclusion here. Do you know how the Spirit has gifted you? Do you know the gifts that the Spirit has given you? And when I say gifts, usually it's more than one, isn't it? And then this, are you using your gifts for the common good, with an attitude of agape love? Do you know how the Spirit has gifted you? Are you using it? It's not enough to know it. You have to use it. And guess what? It's not enough to know it and use it. It has to be used how? With an attitude of agape love. There were people in Corinth that were using their spiritual gifts. And the result was what? A horrible church. Destructive things going on there. Why? Well, a number of things. But one of them being the use of spiritual gifts without an attitude of agape love. As I said, here is a wonderful practical opportunity for you. This network is coming this fall to a church near you. Very near you. And what this will do, Network will help you, it's going to help you determine three things of your servant profile, it says, your servant profile. It will help you to understand your spiritual gifts, that is, what you are equipped to do in order to serve competently. Spiritual gifts, one. Two, personal style. It will help you to know how you can best serve authentically. Spiritual gifts, personal style, two, and three, ministry, passion, where you are motivated to serve enthusiastically. Have you noticed there are some things you just seem to be more motivated to do than others? One of the things, I'm not going to get into it all now, this is coming later here. One of the things I've realized, you know what really motivates me? And I've realized, you know what? I need to really start focusing and doing more of that than other. There are other things I know I need to do. I love to teach. And I need to start really doing that more than I do here. So that's coming. I want to conclude with three little quotes here of people who've gone through this. Because I want to get you excited about this. And I want everybody to go through this. And I have a little goal here. I've talked about this with the elders here. Is that everyone, every member of this church, every regular attender of this church, everyone who considers this your church home, everyone is involved in some ministry. 100% involvement. But here it says, this person says, my success is no longer measured by my job or my accomplishments, but by how I use my gifts to serve his kingdom. Isn't that great? How about this one? I am needed and valuable. I have the greatest, most important job in the world, to serve and honor God. And finally, this one. I know this sounds dramatic, but it is true. It has completely changed my life. And I guarantee you, getting plugged in to your place in the body of Christ, serving as God intends for you to serve with an attitude of agape love, it will change your life. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful. We are grateful for the greatest gift that you've given us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, just as your word says, that he is leading us forth. We are captives being led forth in captivity. And he has given us gifts. These gifts are these abilities that your Holy Spirit has wisely, has sovereignly distributed just as he wills for the common good, for the building up of the body of Christ, and to be used with an attitude of agape love. So, Lord, would you work powerfully through network? That we would find our place, that we would serve enthusiastically in that place. Lord, if we already know our place, Lord, maybe there's new things you want to do. Or maybe there's a passion that needs to be renewed. God, we're praying that your Spirit would work powerfully in Wonder Lake Bible Church and in each man, woman, and young person here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.